Columbus, the Fan. Welcome to the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
Opening week is here for the Blue Jackets. As a matter of fact, we're in Nashville already, and the Blue Jackets are getting set to face off against the Nashville Predators tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. That's when the regular season for the Blue Jackets begins. Jody, sometimes it seems like just yesterday the Blue Jackets finished that game with the New York Islanders and last season came to an end. Sometimes it feels like that was a year ago, but here we are. Training camp is now over. The team has been set. It's really not a surprise. The team that was set, pretty much what we thought, going into camp. Those are the players that come out of camp, and now we get to see them play starting tomorrow.
I'm so excited. I mean, the NHL kicked off yesterday with some great games, awesome hockey. Everyone's excited, you know, and it just seems like the off season, even though it feels long when you just get into it, it seems quick, and it's getting quicker. So, and for this Blue Jackets team, missing the playoffs by 2 points last season, you can sense the urgency right from day one, and the focus in this game that we're approaching here in Nashville to get the 2 points. So all business now. It's going to be fascinating. It's always fun to see what happens. All the predictions are still on the table until game one tomorrow night. And then, you know, and I love this time of year. Everyone's at zero. You know, whatever you did last year, it doesn't matter. Hopefully players build on it. They come in with a lot of optimism and hope. I get asked every day, Blue Jackets, playoff team? And I say, expectations have risen. Because last year there was really none, and they did some marvelous things. They're going to be in the mix. This is a team that hopefully learned and will push to be in that playoff spot. But you want them to be the team that's in there every year. Going to camp knowing you're going to be a playoff team, feeling like you're going to be there, is a great feeling. And hopefully they're there, and hopefully when they get in, they can make some noise.
Dean Evason, the Blue Jackets head coach, is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes to give us his view of this team and what he thinks. But I'm going to ask you, what did you think about the preseason? Because I'll be honest, I came away from it a bit underwhelmed. And I know in the early part of it, you're not seeing most of the roster. But the last two games against Washington, it was most of the roster. I know they only lost each game by one goal. But again, it just, I know not to put too much on preseason, but there's just something where I'm like, there better be more starting tomorrow.
Yeah, it's underwhelming in a lot of areas. They're healthy, which is good. You know, that was a big thing last year starting the season. And I know Branson got hurt later in a game, but, you know, Boone Jenner got hurt in camp. And it was after the preseason game.
Yeah, last practice.
It was a terrible, terrible injury to Boone. So I think there's value. Of course, there's value in starting the season healthy. I think that now I hope they can flip the switch, because there were moments in the game where you felt like they didn't have that jam, but that's to be expected in preseason. You just got to get through it and be sharp enough and understand. The understanding of how they have to play is there. Which is key as a team and to a man. And sometimes it takes a little time to realize, hey, this is for real. But I think game one, like, you turn it on. You're going to see the Blue Jackets hockey. I'm not worried about camp.
You talked about the Boone Jenner injury. One of the things that we got to see because of that injury was Zach Werenski take a step off the ice last year and become a true bona fide leader. If there was ever any question, and I'll bet in the room there never was, as far as him being a leader, because he just plays every day, lead by example. But all of a sudden, it became lead a little bit more vocally last year as well. Is that a guy that you're going to watch closely? And I ask you that because as great as Zach was last year, he played a lot of hockey. Mm-hmm. He played the entire season. He played in the Four Nations. He went and played in the World Championships, and he did a lot of traveling this summer. And look, if there's anybody to me that can come out and look unfazed by all of that, I would say it's Zach Werenski. But will you keep an eye on him to see?
Yeah, I feel like he's a guy that the bar is always very high, but I think he learned a lot about his role and his fit in this team last year when everybody was hurt and things were up in the air and uncertain. And he said, forget it. We're not doing this. I'm going to step up here. And I think there is a point in everyone's career where, you know, there's always guys you can look around the room and be like, okay, like, how do we act after a loss? How do we feel about this win? What do we do next? I feel like he realized he's the guy. And I thought that was an important step. It sprung him into the conversation for the Norris Trophy as the best defenseman in the year, of the year. He's one of the top five, if not top three, defensemen in the National Hockey League. And it's for his natural ability, his strength, but also now his leadership, his grabbing situations. He loved the way Dean Evason coached and how he used that up-tempo and got him up there. Is that you have to have that fourth player in the attack and the rush. He led the rush a lot of times last year. So he has free reign. He loves playing that way because it's natural instincts, defensive zone, and then natural instincts. And I'll be watching him. I think we're going to admire the way he plays again. He's a guy that's going to be in the Olympics this year. I think that's something he's going to be taking a lot of pride in. But there's a lot of unfinished business here with Werenski and the Blue Jackets, and I feel like he knows big time that he's the guy to drive them.
It's funny, whenever you talk about him and the Norris Trophy, like he was involved in a lot last year, I always go back a couple of years when John Tortorella was coaching here. And oh, by the way, Torts, welcome back to the media. He's going back to ESPN.
That's right.
I sent him a text. He hasn't answered it because I said, welcome back to the media. So I'm sure he loved it. But anyway, he used to always talk. Remember when it was Seth Jones and Zach Werenski?
Yeah.
And he would always talk about, you know, Seth Jones is going to be, he's going to be in the conversation for the Norris. He's going to be there. And he never has been, but now Zach Werenski definitely is. Remember when Zach got the big contract after, you know, Seth left and he became the man? A lot of people went, oh, that's way too much money to pay Zach Werenski.
Yeah.
And it's just funny how years go by and you look back on that situation and say, the guy should have twice that much money. And yes, he is possibly going to win that trophy as being the best guy in the league.
Yeah. I love your accents, by the way.
Thank you.
Very good. yeah. You see young players come in, and it's really situational, right? I mean, Seth Jones went to Chicago after we got him from Nashville. He was really good here. He did great things with Zach Werenski, but he went to Chicago and kind of fell off, right? But now he's in Florida, and he's won a Stanley Cup, and he knows his role there. It's situational. And for Zach, we go back to last year, how he took that step, the evolution, how he came in as a great skating, smart defenseman. And now there's another level. And I think we're going to see another level here with Zach Werenski. Staying healthy is a priority for him. I mean, and he's playing a lot of minutes. He skated more miles than anybody in the National Hockey League last year. I think it's like over 4,400 down and backs, over 300 miles down and back over 4,400 times. Go start that now, Bob. See how you feel. But it's like,
I would probably die before
he
ever
is
got there.
So important to this team, and it's because of his trajectory. He had a tough moments there where he was injured and away from the team. His appreciation to be in, but also his impact in the National Hockey League. I can't imagine what his confidence level is right now going into this season, but also his attitude to bring this team. Because he understands he has to be the guy to do that.
Let's go back to Boone Jenner, who I started talking about, and we were talking about his injury, how it affected this team. We may have talked about this a week or so ago. I love Boone Jenner's energy in this camp. There's just something different about Boone Jenner. I know exactly what it is. He's a dad now. His life off the ice is taking, going into a new direction, which he's extremely excited about. This is a guy that needs another contract, and it's not being talked about right now, of course. But I love where he is going into this, and I love where he is, and I love how he is as he leads this team into this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's had one of the toughest years personally and professionally last year. I really do. And, the last 18 months before he got back on the ice, it was him and his wife had personal things going on with a stillborn child, and they went through that, and he got injured, and he was away from the team. Boone Jenner is a hockey player. He's a leader. He's a heart and soul type of guy, and he'll do whatever he has to do to be a part of this team. And sometimes there were times where, you know, where does he fit in? What's he going to do? He's not going to play center. He's going to play the wing. He'll do whatever, and he'll do it well. Stand out for this year to watch when you're watching the Blue Jackets is Boone Jenner in front of the net. We talked about Voronkov and good job with his size. Boone Jenner has got that spot mastered. And it's not just because he had a couple goals there in a game in the preseason. He's quicker. He uses a little bit of a skinnier stick to get those hands a little bit quicker. He's assertive in front of the net. He goes through people to get through sticks to battle for goals. And when you're on the bench or on the ice and you see that effort, it permeates throughout the team. It's infectious. And Boone just does it naturally. So the level of appreciation to be healthy and to be in the lineup, I think that is something else. And when you're his teammate, you feel for the guy. Like, he feels so good about being around the rink every day, like a lot of these guys do. We talked to Cole Sillinger last week. He felt, you could just feel it off him, how much energy they get from each other. And I think that starts with Boone Jenner and the way he's always approached his career.
It's funny, if you go back just a couple of years, this organization would bring in veteran guys, experienced guys to try to help change things. Yeah. And this summer, they brought in experience and Charlie Coyle and Miles Wood and Isaac Lundstrom, not to change, but to fortify what's already been set by the Boone Jenners and the Zach Werenskis and the Adam Fantillis and the Erica Bransons.
And Matthew Olivier. Yes. It's, you know, they're additions to a team. And when you have a new coach and he's been here for a year, the new players come in and learn how it's done here, whereas last year everybody was learning how it was going to go. And I think that's a big difference in having a new coach when you're bringing new players. You're all kind of on the, how's this going to work? What direction are we marching? Well, this year, those guys come in, it's like, oh, this is how they do it. Oh, this is how professional they are. The guys are working hard. The guys are in the weight room. It's like no options to take moments or lifts off. They're all in there and they're pushing each other. You know, and I think that's got to be exciting for the new guys here. Those three guys to come in and see, like, this is a team that has an attitude of proving something this year, and it makes them sharper. You know, sometimes you see guys come in, it's a little bit of a country club, or things are uncertain. Everything's certain here, and it's with the players and how they approach every day in practice and in the games. And I think that as a player, it can be refreshing. Coyle's coming from Minnesota, where he spent half his career, and Boston. And then he was in Colorado last year for a championship run. There's a lot he's learned, a lot of great players he's played with. You go through the Boston greats, the guys he started his career there. You go through Minnesota and what they did there and how they had some great players in there and trying to build. And then go to Colorado with Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar and watch them and how they operate. They're bringing a lot here. And all reports from him and Wood is that they're very impressed with this group.
And Charlie Coyle has never missed the Stanley Cup playoffs in his career.
Oh, yeah, good. And he doesn't want to.
No, that is not in his plans for this season. Coming up next, Dean Evason, the Blue Jackets head coach, is going to join us here on the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, Columbus.
Berm are back with a new daily podcast, the ultimate OSU football insiders. You know, it's refreshing to have some smart people working here from time to time.
The Beat with Austin and Berm on the 10 TV Plus app.
Subscribe today.
The football season.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Sunny skies, light winds, and a bit of a breeze out there on this Wednesday. Temperatures mid to upper 60s. Overnight, down to the low 40s with clear skies and light winds. And then during the day on Thursday, plenty of sunshine, but still breezy and cool. Only mid-60s in the afternoon. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is The Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. The Blue Jackets getting set to open the season tomorrow night in Nashville against the Predators. Right now we're joined by Blue Jackets head coach Dean Evason. And it's been a workout for you the last couple of weeks, hasn't it? Or has it?
No, it's been good. Obviously, the four games in a row were a little challenging, but after that, we settled in and had a lot of nice practice time. You know, balanced with some games. So, I think we're ready to go.
Are you glad that you were able to pare your group down like pretty quickly? Quite frankly, you talked about the four games in 4 days. What that let you do is get your young guys in games and kind of move them through and move them out and get down to that NHL group, didn't it?
Yeah, anytime you can, you know, get to your group quicker, obviously, you know, get their touches, get their, you know, see some combinations not only up front but on the back end, and then obviously special teams is a big part of that. We want to dial in systems as much as we possibly can, and then get that special team rolling really quickly. Get them having the opportunity. So we've had plenty of practice time to get that done.
Systems, combinations, where are you at with all those?
You know what? Last game, obviously we didn't win that last exhibition game, but we played extremely well technically, systematically. We were really dialed in. Are we concerned that we hadn't scored a little bit? Yeah, but you know, we wanted to see how we were going to play the game and get everybody on the same page. Clearly, it's a better opportunity for us this year than last year because we have guys that have played the system. We've tweaked a few things, had a few new players, but systematically we were as sound as we possibly could be at this point in the season.
Waiting is the hardest part, right? And here we are waiting for the puck to hit the ice for the Blue Jackets against the Predators. What's your what kind of tickles the back of your head that it's like, okay, what this part of our game better be this way when we start?
Yeah, I guess getting the goal scoring, or not even the goal scoring, but the ability to get to the net. We thought that we were a little bit too outside through preseason, and you know, we had to do the same thing last year. We had to push the guys to get inside so that we can, you know, not only get in the goalie's eyes but have second, third opportunities when we do get in there. So I guess, and that's what we'll work on here the next couple of days is, you know, just our mindset of how we score goals. We're going to show some video tomorrow of some goals last year and what we did in order not only to score goals but to create offense, and which we had a real good year 5-on-5. We can't just decide now that we're just going to throw our sticks out there and be able to score goals. We still have to do the right things, the work first, the gritty things in order to show our skill at that end result, scoring goals.
Is that the biggest challenge for a coaching staff coming off individual players having great success as young players and then going into the summer and probably hearing and feeling how great they were? How do you capture that and get them back to make sure, boys, it is that battle, it's the six-foot game, it's the nose in there over the puck?
Yeah, no, it's a great point because at the end of the season, you know, everybody's like, well, you had a great year, this, that. Like, end of the year, we had a meeting before we broke for the summer, and we stated to the guys that, listen, whatever you're going to hear, whatever you're going to, you know, think, we didn't make the playoffs, so it was not a successful season. Like, sure, we overcame a lot of adversity, and we came together, and we've, you know, built on the foundation that's been here for many years. But end of the day, we've got to, you know, our goal is to win the Stanley Cup. So to your point, yeah, I'm sure guys heard, you know, geez, you played great, you scored this many goals, whatever. Again, it just doesn't naturally come. There's a reason why we were able to score goals. The mindset was correct to get inside, to get. And again, we've all talked about it, that the dirty area is not a real dirty area anymore. Right. You're not getting cross-checked in the back of the neck or what have you. So the ability, the mindset to get there first, and then again, allow your skill set to score after you do the right things to get there to have that opportunity.
Is that more individual meeting or more group?
Both. We've put together video of how we scored as a team. But there's some people that we've pulled aside and you show individual clips to. Like, this is what you didn't do through, you know, your four games or three games or what have you that you played in preseason that you did last year. Just get back to that. And it's not a negative meeting. It's just a reminder. It's, as you know, as ex-players, you come off of playing shinny all summer and everybody has skill coaches and they're dipsy doodling and dangling all. End of the day, that's wonderful. But you still have to compete against another guy and another man on the ice in order to give yourself an opportunity to score. And if you do that, then that skill work that you've done, that individual stuff, can show itself.
I was going to ask you, is that a tougher sell in preseason games just because they know they're preseason games? And also, another thing you don't want to do, as you said, it's the dirty area is not what it used to be. But guys don't want to get hurt in training camp either. But yet your usual suspects, your Matthew Olivier's, your Boone Jenner's, they're right in there doing the things that they do day in and day out. It doesn't matter what season it is. Is that just the mindset that you have to get everybody into?
Well, it's a great point because I don't know the stats. You guys might know them, but like through preseason, I know Boone scored a couple goals. Ole scored a goal. So those guys are just doing it just because that's who they are, right? Some other people, you got to push to do that. It's a challenge to get everybody to get that proper mindset in order to, and it's not only goal scoring, it's everything. And you're right. I mean, that last game we go into, we're happy with the structure, but we're also happy to get through that thing without having any injuries. I just talked to Don and he actually said that prior to the game in Washington, like you just want to stay healthy, right? Going into the regular season. We are. So we look forward to getting it going.
We're talking with head coach Dean Evason of the Blue Jackets. What is your biggest challenge going into opening night, whether it's a roster decision or things that you're making final evaluations on? What's the biggest thing for you personally going into game one?
I think just getting the guys to, and actually I like starting on the road just because it'll be able to play a little bit freer. You know, we won't be squeezing the sticks so tight. I'm not really worried about anything, to be honest with you. I think if you do your preparation, which we feel that we have as a coaching team and put the pieces in place, we've tweaked a little bit with our lineup, but we're very secure with our pairings. We're very secure with our combinations up front and real happy with our goaltending, clearly. It's just a matter of now, getting the guys into that proper mindset that when the pucks drop for real, that we actually play hard.
It's funny you talk about opening on the road because last year that was so tough for you guys. And is that part of it too? Would you like to get early success in that so that's something you can just check the box on and forget about what happened in the past?
Yeah, 100%. There's things that you talk about through the summer and areas that we have to improve on. Obviously, back-to-back games. Obviously, our road record. Our special teams have to be better. So to open up and get, as you said, that proper mindset of competing out there and having the ability to have success early on the road will be key for sure.
Second year head coach of this team now, where are you with how they approach you and how you feel about this group coming into the second year? Would the pressure be higher in some instances on the way you approach it, or is there a well-oiled machine in there a little bit for you?
Well, just the communication is so much better, right? I mean, I didn't know the players, right? And how we started last year with Johnny, obviously, there was more of that than there was of getting to know the player, right? We're very comfortable as a coaching team having the ability to bring a guy in and or just sitting and talking to him, where he lives, his family. So you're not doing all of those type of things to get to know the player so that he's comfortable communicating with you as we are comfortable communicating with them.
Where's the room at as far as the impact that you have to have? I would think last year, especially early, you had to be the voice all the time. Where are they at with kind of you handing it over to them?
Yeah, in a real good place. Again, we talked about the health. We have everybody healthy. We have all our leaders in there. And not only just the guys wearing the letters, obviously, with Boone and Goody and Z. There's so many leadership qualities in there. And we talked right from day one in training camp that the quicker we can give the room to the players and they feel that it's their team, the better off we're going to be. So, yeah, I think there'll be way more opportunities for us to give the room to the players this year that, it's how to play. We don't have to come in there and kick a garbage can over if we're, didn't have success in the first period. You can. Yeah, you can. But if you do that too many times, they're like, oh, there he is again, kicking it, So it's nice to have the teaching come from their peers for sure.
How fired up are you to get this going?
Yeah, we're real excited. It seems like it's been a long camp.
Yeah.
And although we've loved the quality of practice time and we've been able to do some team bonding stuff with the golf tournament the other day, stuff like that, we're a tight group. So, yeah, are we excited to get after it together? No question.
Did you win that golf tournament?
I don't think we should talk about that. we're one on one.
Where's your game at right now?
We beat them last year. They beat us this year. It's tapering off. It always does at this time of year. You get on the golf course, and it's like, man, you're starting to think about the forecheck as opposed to your birdie putt.
How much? The forecheck?
The forecheck's great.
Better than your birdie putt?
Better than my birdie putt at this point.
He's got to get going. Do you have anything else for him?
I want to know about that whistle. We see that blue whistle you have around your neck. Yeah. Was it a gift? What is the story behind that whistle? I've never seen one like it.
I actually had a green one when I was in Minnesota and just did some research. This is supposed to be, I don't even know what it's called, Fox Sonic or something, and it's supposed to be the loudest whistle out there. I really enjoy blowing the whistle loud in practice. Just to get the attention of the group. It's kind of like your stick. You know, you can do a lot of good things with it. You dropped yours. I held on to my stick a lot.
Wait, so you got a blue one when you got with the Blue Jackets?
So as soon as I got here, which I, you know, green wasn't really my color, so I'm happy to have a blue
so
one.
So do you got to order it, or is it the Canadian or American or Swedish?
No, I ordered it. I have no idea where it's from. And then I got here, and the trainers, they've got a stock. So you change it over because
there's... Oh, you wear them out?
A lot of, you wear them out. Yeah. You just chew on them a little bit.
Swedish. It wouldn't be the loudest whistle if it was Swedish.
Oh, maybe.
we'll have to do a little more research. But yeah, I've got three or four in my stall.
Thank you, Dean. We appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow night against the Predators. That's head coach Dean Evason. We'll be back with more of the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
It's the most.
Wake up and laugh with the Bob and Tom Show on The Fan 2.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
It says here they've won 5 Marconi Awards. I can't even spell Marconi. The Fan 2. Columbus's home of the Bob and Tom Show.
Hey there, you've got a...
The flagship station of the Columbus Blue Jackets. 97.1 The Fan. Can't get enough Blue Jackets conversation? Good news. It's Hockey O'Clock. It's the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan, the Fan Ohio sports destination.
Make sure you get your ticket plans for this season where you can choose the matchups that you want to see. The plans start at just 11 games and you can save up to 40%. Plus, enjoy flexible payment options and bonus tickets for family and friends. Learn more by going to bluejackets.com/ticket plans. The Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank. Bob McElligott, Jody Shelley with you. And it was great to hear from Dean Evason just about his perspective on how camp was run, about where his team is getting ready to take on the Nashville Predators tomorrow night, Jody.
Yeah, you know, you get the sense from all the players and the staff right now, they're in a good place mentally, physically. It's great to hear everybody's healthy. I know Marchenko didn't skate yesterday, but he's ready to go tomorrow night with the Blue Jackets roster. You know, they're in a good place. And to hear the head coach, who's been here now for 2 years, take us through kind of his mindset and mentality of camp and being where he's at, I like it. You know, he's a guy that's very direct. He understands the importance of winning the first game. And it's always great to catch up with the head coach, isn't it? We'd love to get him every week.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know. I almost mentioned it to him, but I didn't.
What I was going to say is, when you look at this schedule, like, everybody is all geared up and ready to go, and that is the same everywhere else in the National Hockey League. As you said, some teams got it going last night, right? But right now, for the Blue Jackets, they're starting just like Nashville is, with a 0-0 record going into this game. And look, this schedule is a bit daunting when you look at it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, Nashville is going to be very eager to prove that what happened last year was a fluke. And then after that, you've got to go to Minnesota, and that's going to be a big game for them with a newly signed superstar to a record-setting contract. And then you got to go home and take on New Jersey, who is a team that feels that they're better with a healthy Jack Hughes that they didn't have for a lot last year. And, oh, if you haven't had enough by then, the Colorado Avalanche roll into town right after that. So, I mean, look, nothing is a given. There's great parity in this league, but there's going to have to be a lot of work done in these first four games.
You know, and that's why you hear teams say, we're only worried about our team and our process. It's because the quicker you can get on that kind of team play, whether it's a puck battle to get out of the zone. That's a small detail, but it's so important in winning hockey. Limiting turnovers, you know, that's part of their defensive zone, is trying to kill plays and get pucks out quickly. Any good team does that really well, and those are the things that they have got to be prepared to happen quicker than they think they'll have to, you know. And but I think camp has done that. I think that now that, you know, you get a sense after yesterday's practice, you know, camp is over, the group is ready for game number one. It's the first time we've seen them since the roster's set. There's a real professionalism and business-like attitude through all that, throughout the whole group. And when we talked to Dean, he did mention kind of he likes where the room is at as far as turning it over to them as and trusting that they understand what's asked of them here for success. So, you know, that's a really good thing. I just can't wait till game number one gets underway. I think we're all in the same boat, and you get through that. Win or lose, then you make the adjustments you need to and go from there. So it's going to be a fun year, but when you miss the playoffs by 2 points, it never leaves the way you feel until you get back in that game one. And you take that feeling with you throughout the first 5 games, and then you try to build momentum with that, and that's what this team has to do starting tomorrow night.
How do you see this Nashville Predators team? Whereas last year, Barry Trotz takes over as the GM. He's out signing guys and trading for guys as if he's playing, you know, NHL 25, you know, getting Steven Stamkos, and he's got Ryan O'Reilly in the middle on this team, and he still has Roman Josi as the captain and leading the way on the back end, and he missed time at the end of last year, but he's back and ready to go. You know, this is a group where if you look at them on paper, you think, wow, that's a formidable team. And then last year when they played, they just weren't. So having been in those types of situations and those types of teams, what's their mindset coming into opening night?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot to prove individually and as a team. And, you know, they seemed very embarrassed about how they played last year. They got one of the best, still the best defensemen in the National Hockey League in Roman Josi. UC Saros is still one of the best goaltenders in the league. They've got proven superstars in Stamkos. I know they're getting a little older. Marchessault's on the third line. Stamkos is on the second line. And they've still got Forsberg. He's a good power forward, and they have that rookie, Brady Martin, they just drafted last year, I think, slotted as their number one center between Forsberg and O'Reilly. And, you know, there's a lot of pride on that team. McCarron, I think he went to the USA team and won the World Championships with Zach Werenski with Team USA. He's an under-the-radar player that is brought up in that organization. They're going to play harder. They're going to play faster. You can guarantee that. And opening night for them, for the Blue Jackets season and the Nashville Predators Thursday night, it'll be a raucous environment there in Nashville.
And for Barry Trotz, he has such great history with the Predators organization. For the longest time, he was the only coach that they had. Of course, he moved on and won a Stanley Cup in Washington and then went to the Islanders. But coming back as a general manager, even though he's got that great history and even though he's an icon, really, in Nashville, if they get off to a slow start again, if they struggle again, at what point do you start to get into the spotlight in that role?
Oh, it could happen quick. I mean, that's a town that really got on the map when they made that huge playoff push, and it was the center of the hockey universe, and, you know, they had a great run there, and they ignited the city. It's always been a passionate hockey town, but it really put them on the map nationally as a fun place to go watch hockey, and their fans are passionate. They chant. They're into it. They know the team. That used to be a team that was a defenseman factory. They had so many good defensemen, Weber, Suter. You know, David Poile was the GM. He always made sure that they had a lot of depth at defense. Seth Jones, all these guys that were there and went on and had finished their careers at different places, winning Stanley Cups. They've all left there. Dante Fabro left last year at this time on waivers. So, you know, it's changed a little bit in that regard. Barry Trotz has always liked size. He's always liked character. I was in a training camp with him in Portland years ago, and it was him and John Brophy at the front of the bus, and there was about 8 of us that were fighters that walked past him, all looking for one job, and they loved it because we were all just beating each other up. But anyways, you know, I love Barry Trotz, and hopefully he can get this back on, but I think his core pieces are still the same. He's just trying to build around them.
Let's talk about playing in Nashville. You alluded to it there just a moment ago. This, let's be honest, 25th anniversary season of the Blue Jackets.
Oh, you're going to go there.
What's always been a tough place to play?
Oh, it's brutal.
Right?
I remember we just could not win there, no matter what. Hitch was the coach. You know, they just never got off to a good start in that city. And I remember once I met Tim McGraw. He was doing a concert here. And I said, I love your music. I've always loved every one of your songs. But the one I can't stand anymore is I Like It, I Love It, I Want Some More of It. Because it's their goal song. And one night I heard it, our team heard it, 8 times in Nashville. It was a party, and we weren't invited. That's a lonely feeling there. But it's an arena I think it's imperative to get out to a very good start.
Yeah, and obviously, as we talked with about, or to Dean about, that was such an issue last year, playing on the road and playing the back-to-backs. We're not dealing with the back-to-back right now, but you get to take on these first two opponents on the road, and I think that you have to put a lot of focus on that.
You have to. And I think, you know, Dean mentioned this morning or yesterday morning at the media scrum that, you know, he likes the fact they're starting on the road. I get that because you're in the hotel. Yeah, it's a team meal, team bus. It's actually a walk in Nashville because the hotel is so close. Team meeting all in one. Your camp's together. There's value in that to start the season. I get that. But if it's not a win, then it's going to be a long road trip once you get to Minneapolis and look to play the Minnesota Wild. So, you know, the urgency to get going and play well is heightened at every team. Every team is in the same boat right now as far as how they want to start game 1, 2, and 3. And for the Blue Jackets, they still have things to sort out. The goaltending, who's going to be in the lineup, who's going to play with who. It looks like it's set. But if things don't go well in game 1, things change quick.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Coming up next, we're going to go through the National Hockey League. There's some news this week. There's some contracts that have been signed, which is really big news, as a matter of fact. We'll talk about that and more as the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank continues here on 97.1 The Fan.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds. Bye-bye. Your new Columbus home for the Jim Rome Show is The Fan 2.
Catch the live experience weekdays from 3 to 6.
Just one requirement. Have a take and don't suck. The Fan 2. Columbus's home of the Jim Rome Show. Did you know Austin and Berm host a show at Roosters? And did you know that Roosters is giving away 12 ultimate Buckeye experiences? Tickets, sideline passes, trips to a postseason game and more. Register today at roosterswings.com. All Blue Jackets, all the time. This is the Inside Edge with Jody Shelley and Bob McGilligan. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Well, we keep talking about the Blue Jackets getting the season underway tomorrow night here in Nashville, and they will. But coming up on Monday, the Blue Jackets will have their home opener when they take on the New Jersey Devils in a game presented by Nationwide. Make sure you get there early because there will be a pregame plaza party. You can watch the Blue Jackets walk the blue carpet. Get your tickets by going to bluejackets.com/on sale. Well, the Blue Jackets getting ready to get this season started, and some other teams getting their season started, Jody, with really good news. One of those, the Edmonton Oilers, because Connor McDavid, his contract was up at the end of this year. Until just the other day. He has signed a 2-year contract extension. What that does, and he signed it for the same salary. So what that does is takes all that talk off the table for the media for the entire year. There's no, what's Connor McDavid going to do? Well, he's going to stay here, and he's going to play for $12.5 million. But that doesn't mean that there's still not a question as to what happens beyond that, or what happens after this year. Look, Edmonton's been to the Stanley Cup final in back-to-back years, right? And they want to get there again. They want to win the whole thing. With this contract, does he set it up that if he doesn't think it's going to happen there, that he can get out? Or is this just waiting for the market because you see Kaprizov sign for $17 million just to wait and see exactly what it's going to be in a year or two from now?
Well, he could have signed whatever he wanted. I mean, their GM was just waiting for the phone call to let him know what he was going to sign for and how long. And I think he was pleasantly surprised, but I think quickly he'll realize, Stan Bowman, that pressure's on him now. What are you going to add to this team? You know, going to the Stanley Cup Finals 2 years in a row, of course it's disheartening to lose, but that's a pretty good season. That's, you know, there's 30 other teams that would love to be in that position 2 years in a row. But I've heard Connor McDavid has been watching the preseason games with Draisaitl from the press box. You don't see that. He's invested in the team. He wants to see what direction they're going. He wants to see the prospects that they have and figure out the games and how they play on the ice. Yeah, he's all in on the Oilers right now, but it's not a long-term commitment, you know, and I think it's, you know, it's did he reset the market after it was reset by Kaprizov at $17 million just a week before? You know, everyone was saying, wow, Connor McDavid's going to get the 20% of the salary, which is close to $20 million a year, would be in a couple of years, and it's not what he did. He just said, I'll take the same pay as I'm making this year for the next 2 years after this year. That really gives him 2 years, because if it isn't working this year and next year, you know, he's probably not going to play that third year. He's probably going to get moved or something's going to happen in that time. So I like what he did. There's a selfish part of me as if I was a player, I'd want those contracts to go high. And, you know, the guys like Eichel, who are unsigned yet in the National Hockey League, Kyle Connor in Winnipeg needs a contract. He's a winger. I think Connor's in his own world. You know, it's Connor McDavid. It's like the Wayne Gretzky of the past. But he let Stan Bowman, the GM, say, okay, like, there's some currency to play with here to get some players. There's no excuses why this team can't win. Now add what we need. But then he went out and signed Wallman to a 7-year deal, 7x7. This was a guy that was Detroit gave away to San Jose. Edmonton got him from there for, I'm not sure if it was for very much, and now he's on a 7-year deal. So there's overpaid longer term with the extra money that he has there. Are you going to see that? Like, that to me is like not what this is about. This is about getting whatever they can. And I don't know how you pick up players on free agency. What's available? How can you get players? You're going to have to give something up. They have a late round first pick. That's in play. But now the pressure's on Stan Bowman because the players signed up and all the noise has stopped and it's turned into excitement for the Oilers.
Yeah, you mentioned Jack Eichel, and that'll be an interesting one there too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because now, actually, you could shift the focus. Like, okay, McDavid's done for the time being. I mean, here are the guys that went 1 and 2 in their draft year. One of them now is off the table. When does the other get the attention? Although, you know, we've talked about this a million times. It seems like when the Vegas Golden Knights need to get something done, they just get it done.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what their salary cap is. Doesn't matter what their roster is. They move guys. They move money. They find a way to get and keep winners.
Yeah. They take bold risks and then they figure it out after, it seems like at times. But they have got so much talent in that front line, that front, they're in their top six offense. He's a number one centerman in Jack Eichel. He's really good defensively. Puts up good numbers, no tax in Nevada. So you're probably going to see around the same number. I'm not good at this, predicting numbers, but if I'm looking at Kirill Kaprizov as a unicorn in this situation, I think everything is settled in between McDavid and Kaprizov. And, you know, the Oilers have Draisaitl at 14.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, that's one of the best two players in the world. Looking to win a Stanley Cup, and Eichel has one and wants another one. So, yeah, it'll be interesting here to see these signings and see what happens, because there is noise around it, and you really want to put it to bed. You know, the holdouts seem to be done for camp. So we'll see how teams adjust and get into the season. And it's funny in the offseason, too, because you have a lot of talk about when the cap goes up and what contracts are going to be. Everything got rocked last week when Kirill Kaprizov, but it's funny how McDavid has really quieted that down with his contract.
And in all these years, Sidney Crosby continues to make $8.7 million.
Not bad.
Not bad at all, but almost unthinkable in today's market. Yeah. Jody, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks,
Great Mom. To be back on the road Awesome. And ready to get it underway here tomorrow night.
It's going to be fun. Go Blue Jackets, and we're looking forward to this season.
All right, the game tomorrow gets underway at 8 o'clock. We've got pregame coverage starting at 7:30, both on FanDuel with Jody and on the Blue Jackets Radio Network with me. So make sure that you join us as the Blue Jackets open up against Nashville. That's going to do it for the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. For Jody Shelley, I'm Bob McElligott. Thanks for listening to 97.1 The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
It's the .com.